clock strikes midnight, the world grows quiet, and in that sacred space between consciousness and sleep, God often chooses to speak. Throughout Scripture, we see a fascinating pattern. God regularly uses dreams to communicate with his people. These aren't mere coincidences or random neural firings. They're divine appointments in the night seasons. Welcome to Lots of Love Ministries. Today we're going to talk about dreams, and I will share as well as interpret a dream I had. But you may ask, can dreams really be from God? Consider Joseph, known as the dreamer. Before he became second command of Egypt, God gave him dreams. Dreams of sheaves of wheat and stars bowing down. His brothers mocked him, calling him this dreamer in Genesis 37:19. But those very dreams foreshadowed a future that would save nations from famine. God wasn't just giving Joseph entertaining sleep stories. He was revealing his divine plan. Joseph's gift went beyond receiving dreams. God blessed him with the ability to interpret them as well. When he stood before Pharaoh to interpret the dreams of fat and thin cows, Joseph made it clear, "I cannot do it, but God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires," in Genesis 41:16. This humility reminds us that dream interpretation isn't about human wisdom. It's about divine revelation. Moving forward in Scripture, we find Daniel, another servant whom God blessed with understanding of dreams and visions. In Daniel 2:28, he declares to King Nebuchadnezzar, "There is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries." Notice the pattern. God often chose to reveal these mysteries through dreams, especially to reach those who might not otherwise hear his voice. Think about the birth narrative of our Messiah. God used dreams repeatedly to protect and guide. He spoke to Joseph, Yeshua's earthly father, multiple times through dreams, to accept Mary as his wife in Matthew 1:20-21, to flee to Egypt in Matthew 2:13, and to return to Israel in Matthew 2:19-20. Even the wise men were warned in a dream to avoid Herod in Matthew 2:12. The very survival of our infant Messiah was orchestrated through divine dreams. Someone might ask, but are dreams still for today? The prophet Joel speaks of dreams for the last days. In Acts 2:17, Peter quotes Joel's prophecy. "In the last days," God says, "I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams." This isn't a relic of the past. It's a promise for today. Let's address a common concern. How do we know if a dream is from God? Scripture gives us clear guidelines. First, dreams from God will never contradict his written word or character as revealed in the Bible. Isaiah 8:20 states, "Through the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, they have no light of dawn." In other words, if it doesn't line up with the Bible, then it's not for our enlightenment. Second, God-given dreams often carry a sense of divine weight and clarity that sets them apart from ordinary dreams. When God spoke to Solomon in a dream, Solomon knew it was God. You can read about that in 1 Kings 3:15. "As for me, when I cannot forget a dream and I feel compelled to understand its meaning, this tells me that Yahweh is trying to tell you something through that dream. So then I go and I seek out the interpretation, the meaning of the dream, to see what exactly God is trying to say to me." And last, true divine dreams often focus on God's kingdom purposes rather than personal gain. However, whether personal or for a nation, they may bring correction, direction, or warning. But a God dream will always align with God's character of love and truth. Today, in our rapid-paced, noise-filled world, could it be that God still chooses the quiet of night to speak to his people? Absolutely. The testimonies of countless believers proves that he does. From warning dreams that have saved lives to prophetic dreams that have guided ministries, God continues to use this ancient pathway of communication. Remember Jacob's dream at Bethel? He set a ladder reaching to heaven with angels ascending and descending. When he awoke, he declared, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it," in Genesis 28:16. Perhaps that's where many of us find ourselves, surrounded by God's communication, yet unaware. Let me challenge you. Start keeping a dream journal. When you wake from a significant dream, write it down. Pray for wisdom and discernment. Study God's word to understand his ways. And most importantly, remember that dreams are not the foundation of our faith. They're just one of many ways our loving Father chooses to speak to us. If you need help with understanding a dream, I am trained in biblical dream interpretation by Streams Ministries and the late John Paul Jackson. You may email me your dream and we will help you understand it. Please send dreams for interpretation to lotsofloveministries@yahoo.com. Now, I want to explore a fascinating and unusual dream that I had that brings together technology, mathematics, and the divine creation we call Earth. This dream serves as a backdrop for our reflection on the nature of human understanding and God's perfect wisdom. So I dreamed that Elon Musk, who's a symbol of human innovation, declared 2 + 7 = Earth. Kind of weird, huh? At first glance, these numbers defy logical sense. 2 + 7 = Earth? What? No, 2 + 7 = 9, right? 2 + 7 = Earth is not a logical mathematical equation. Yet this is what Elon Musk in my dream stated. So this dream opens a window to a profound spiritual truth when viewed through the lens of Scripture. Numbers in the Bible are not mere figures. They carry divine significance. The number 2 represents testimony and witness, our call to bear witness to God's truth. 7, on the other hand, stands for divine perfection and completion, reminding us of God's perfect creation and his ultimate plan. Consider the figure of Elon Musk, a man known for his technological achievements and ambitions. While human wisdom and innovation have their place, the dream serves as a reminder of the words of 1 Corinthians 3:19, "For the wisdom of this world is folly with God." Just as 2 + 7 doesn't mathematically equal Earth, human understanding often falls short of God's divine plan. Isaiah 55:8-9 reminds us, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord." As followers of Christ, we are called to be witnesses of God's perfect work on earth. So you see the 2 there representing witnesses or a witness, and 7 representing earth. Acts 1:8 commissions us to be his witnesses to the ends of the earth. Our mission is to testify to God's greatness and his perfect plan for creation. In a world driven by technological advances and human achievements, we must remember to place our trust in God's perfect wisdom. Proverbs 3:5-6 encourage us to trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not on your own understanding. So we have some practical applications in choosing his ways. Let me speak plainly about the daily choices we face between worldly solutions and trusting in Yeshua's ways. First, in our health, consider how we approach illness. The world tells us to immediately rush to WebMD or to the doctor, frantically Google symptoms, or rely on medical technology. While medicine is a blessing, and indeed Luke himself was a physician, how often do we pray first? When was the last time you gathered the elders of the church to pray over you when you were sick, as James 5:14 instructs? Perhaps you're battling anxiety. The world offers apps, medications, and countless self-help books. But have you first sat quietly with Yeshua, bringing your anxious thoughts to him? Think about it. What about in our relationships? When conflict arises in marriage or friendship, our first instinct might be to text a friend, post on social media for advice, or book a therapy session. These aren't wrong actions per se, but where is our first allegiance? Yeshua teaches us to first go directly to our brother or sister who has wronged us, to speak truth in love, to forgive 70 times 7. The world's wisdom says, protect yourself, while Yeshua's way says, humble yourself. That's something to think about. What about in our work? Many of us face workplace challenges. The world's solution might be to network aggressively on LinkedIn, manipulate office politics, to compromise our values for advancement. But what's Yeshua's way? Speak first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. This might mean taking the harder path, being honest when others cut corners, giving credit to colleagues when you could take it for yourself, or treating the janitor with the same respect as the CEO. What about in our finances? The world bombards us with financial apps, investment strategies, and get-rich-quick schemes. While budgeting tools and wise planning have their place, where do we place our ultimate trust? Do we tithe first, or wait to see what's left over? Do we hoard in fear, or give generously? Trusting in Yeshua's provision is how we should be operating in our financial arena. I was tested in this very area this past few months, where my income temporarily ceased and I was not getting income. I truly had to trust in the Lord to provide and lead me and guide me. And, you know, I have to admit, my first response was, I need to get a job. I need to start getting income. And it wasn't really working out, because we're to be seeking the Lord first and his righteousness. Then all these things will be added to us. So I decided that I was going to seek the Lord even more than I had already been before. I spent extra hours listening to teaching, studying the Bible, praying, and seeking the Lord in his ways. And now my income has returned. Amen. And all my bills are still paid. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, because he is faithful. And when we follow his ways, he will be faithful to us and keep his word. What about in our parenting? Are you a parent? Today's parents face unprecedented challenges. The world offers endless monitoring apps, tracking devices, and parenting experts. But are we teaching our children to know Yeshua? Are we modeling trust in his ways? Sometimes the best technology is simply opening the word together or praying as a family. Amen? The Bible instructs us to train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So parents, first, train your child in the ways of Yeshua. Teach them to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That everything they need will be there for them. Their needs will be met in every way. So if your needs are not being met, seek the Lord and his righteousness. Seek his kingdom. Seek his ways. And make a choice to walk in his ways and reject worldly wisdom. Which means also we have to look at our time management skills. Are you spending that time? Are you giving yourself the time to spend with the Lord? There are like so many productivity apps, digital calendars, and countless tools to maximize every minute, whether we're using them or not. Yet Yeshua's way might be to, quote unquote, waste time in prayer, to be interrupted by someone in need, or to Sabbath when deadlines loom. Sabbath means rest. And I once heard that one of the great evangelists of our time, I think it was Smith Wigglesworth, he said that if he had an extra busy day, he would spend 5 hours in prayer instead of three. So he did that quote unquote wasted time in prayer method. And he was even more productive in the hours left. And I have practiced this myself, where when I start my day and I spend extra hours in prayer, I get so much more done. And it's just amazing how that works. But God's ways work. They defy the logic of humanity. His mathematics of time often defies our logical calculations. Amen? So I challenge you this week to pause before each problem-solving moment. Ask yourself, am I reaching for my phone before reaching for prayer? Have I consulted Yeshua's teachings before consulting Google? Now, me, I use Google to consult Yeshua's teachings because I use it to search the scriptures. So there's a way you can use Google and consult Yeshua. Am I trusting in human calculations or divine wisdom? What would it look like to approach this situation in Yeshua's way? That's a good question. When we have a choice to make, let's ask ourselves, what would Jesus do? You know that saying that came out, like I think in the 80s, what would Jesus do? It's not just a catchy slogan. It's a very good question. And the way we know that is to search the scriptures. Find out what Jesus did. And then we will know what he will do. Amen. Also, leading of the Holy Spirit will help us. Also, Holy Spirit, what would you do, Lord? What path would you want me to take? How should I handle this? I've been asking him that question a lot lately. And you know what? He is faithful to answer. He will lead you. He will show you the path to walk. Amen. Remember the dreams equation, 2 + 7 = earth? Just as this makes no mathematical sense, Yeshua's solutions often defy worldly logic. Turn the other cheek. Forgive endlessly. Love your enemies. Give to receive. None of these compute in human wisdom. Yet they are the very mathematics of the kingdom. Yeshua himself is the ultimate revelation of God to humanity. While dreams can provide guidance and insight, they must always point us back to him who is the way, the truth, and the life, according to John 14:6. Dreams are not meant to replace scripture or the leading of the Holy Spirit in our daily walk. They're meant to complement them. This dream does that very thing. Let us embrace the divine equation of Yahweh's wisdom, remembering that while human calculations may falter, God's plans are flawless. As we go forth, may we bear witness to his glory and trust in his perfect understanding, knowing that earth and its wonders are a testament to his infinite love and creativity. He made earth for humans, and he called it good. Each day, his creation was good, and the world he created is good. Yes, man has corrupted a lot of the earth, and they've destroyed a lot in the earth, and we haven't exactly been the best stewards because, you know, Adam and Hava, they sinned. Yeah, they fell. They trusted in something other than God's perfect plan, something other than God's divine wisdom. And they sought a different answer. And because of that, the perfection that God created for us has been cursed. And so it's not as good maybe as it used to once be before the fall, but it's still good. God still provides, and he uses the earth to do so. Food still comes forth from the earth. Amen. And there is a lot of beautiful places on the earth that we can go and connect with Yahweh in nature and enjoy the beauty of the earth. As we close, let's remember that the God who spoke to Joseph, Daniel, and countless others wasn't changed. He's still speaking today. Sometimes it's through his word, sometimes through his spirit, and yes, sometimes through dreams. May we have ears to hear and hearts to understand, even in our sleeping hours. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of understanding and the ability to dream. Open our spiritual ears to hear you in every way you choose to speak. Give us wisdom to discern your voice, even in our dreams, and guide us in our journey to seek your wisdom above all else. Like Joseph and Daniel, help us to remain humble, always acknowledging that true understanding comes from you alone. May we be faithful witnesses to your truth and love, trusting in your perfect plan. In Yeshua's name, amen. Well, I hope you enjoyed this message on understanding dreams and the divine equation. We know that God wants to speak to us, and he does speak to us. May we have ears to hear and hearts to seek understanding of what he's saying. So as you do life this week, I want to bless you with shalom in your home.